Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we talk about the God who comes to dwell amongst his people. This is part one of our limited series. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you live in us and with us by the power of your Holy Spirit. May the indwelling Spirit lead us in your word so that we may understand it and live in the light of your truth. In Jesus' name, Amen. We have two readings for today, and the one is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, and the other is from the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse 1 to 9, and I'm reading from the NIV. Beginning with John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And from Exodus, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." Just to there, may God bless his word to us today and always. Now, if we believe our text to be true, then what we have here in the biblical witness is a record of God in the Old and New Testaments who, knowing our human frailties and weaknesses, was still willing to dwell among his people. Today, in the dispensation of the New Testament, we are told the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And because of Jesus, we know that he dwells in the hearts of his people by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God. From our reading in Exodus, it is clear that God had determined to dwell among his people even then. And as far as we can tell, there is not another world religion that speaks of their deity being willing to come down to dwell among them, to bring about salvation, and to be in relationship with them. That said, in Exodus 25, God gave instructions to Moses regarding the construction of the tabernacle. This, along with everything that followed, provides us with a fair idea as to how the Israelites worshipped God in those days. And when we come to the New Testament, this passage and various other Old Testament passages about the tabernacle, the priesthood, and the practices surrounding temple worship are then understood in the light of the incarnation and ministry of Jesus. And while they were a God-given means of grace to the nation of Israel, they were at the same time shadows, if you will, of the real things to come in the person and work of Jesus, as well as the inauguration of the new covenant. Specifically in terms of Christ's priesthood, his sacrifice, his ministry, and also how we relate to God as a worshiping community in the context of the new covenant, which includes how different things are under the new covenant with respect to our worship of God. All this because God desires to dwell among and in his worshiping people. In our text then, God tells Moses that he wants him to build a sanctuary, a tabernacle, a tent, which is a holy or set-apart place where he can dwell among his own people, Israel. A blueprint for a tabernacle is then given to Moses by God for the construction of what effectively would become a mobile temple, so that the children of Israel could worship God on the move through the desert. God would then dwell among his people, being ministered to by a priestly group, the tribe of Levi. Which brings us to the topic of the priesthood. We discover a series of filters that is put in place by God to establish this priesthood. First, of all the children of Israel, only one tribe, Levi, were allowed to be priests, who would minister to God on behalf of God's people. Next, of all the Levite families, only men could be priests. And finally, of all those men, only those who were without any physical or other disability were able to perform these acts of ministry and worship. We must bear in mind that God was not being nasty, but through these requirements communicated his utter holiness and the fact that humans, in their brokenness, were profane or unholy, and that which was unholy would not be allowed to touch holy things. If we were to contrast this with what we know from the New Testament church, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9, we discover that all those who belong to Jesus are now being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. They are also a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Thus, there is a substantial change with regard to the priesthood. Those who previously did not have direct access to God are now able to come into his very presence because of the work of Jesus on the cross. In keeping with the new thing that God had instituted, people worshipped God and were called into service without reference to pedigree as a qualifying factor. The only exception to this would be the original disciples who became the apostles in the church. One commentator says, only those who had been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry to his resurrection were qualified to be his apostolic witnesses. Paul qualified because he had seen the risen Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4 to 10. No longer then is the ministry confined to a select group of people who are physically and mentally whole. The priesthood is now conferred on every believer, and this is a vital point to hold on to. We are all seen by God as belonging to this new and better priesthood, being able to enter into the most holy place of God's very presence, previously the preserve of the high priest only, by faith, from day to day, as often as we open our mouths in prayer and praise to him. Everyone who belongs to God is now able to come to him in prayer. No one is excluded from worshiping and serving him. The only qualification we need is to have a living relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that our attention is drawn to when we think of the Old Testament tabernacle, and which is what I want to focus on here, is the bronze laver or basin. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 18 to 20, we find this. God says to Moses, make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water, so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting an offering made to the Lord by fire. So, in all their busyness, ministering before the Lord, the Levites moved between the bronze altar and the tent of meeting, performing various acts of what we would call worship. Sacrifices were made, incense was burned in the tent of meeting. The golden lampstand representing God's presence had to be kept alight at all times, and the table of showbread had to have new cakes of bread placed on it once a week. But as they moved from one thing to the other, from one sacrifice and act of worship and ministry to the other, they had to be sure to wash themselves, hands and feet, at this bronze basin, to maintain the holiness of all God's things in the tabernacle. The penalty for being negligent about this was death. How does this have any kind of parallel or significance for us today? To find out, I invite you to join us again for part 2 next week. And so let's pray. God of life, God of hope, God of all, we thank you that because of Jesus we are able to approach you, coming into your presence. And so sustain us, guide us, and heal us, and then send us forth into the world that we may love as you love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.